Hello and welcome back to JLXP. This makes episode 39 all time. And I'm recording this actually late Tuesday night. Going to release it early Wednesday morning, which is a little earlier than my midweek episodes usually release. But that's because, did you know, LCS is doing a super week. So games are actually going to be starting on Friday instead of Saturday. So I wanted to get this out a little bit earlier so that there's more time for people to watch it, because I know people don't immediately watch JLXP when it comes out, and they sometimes listen throughout the week, especially on the podcast platform. So I will say that this will probably be a bit of an information dump. Basically, what I've been doing is I've just been prepping for the LCS week and writing down a lot of the things that I find to be most interesting, and I wanted to go over them in this episode while also just giving predictions for, I won't give them for every game. I've made them for every game to try and come with these predictions. It's obviously 15 games, and it's an interesting inflection point in the season because normally in the LCS format, teams have played a pretty set amount of games every week. I think the last time there were super weeks was like back in 2015. I know last split, it was actually 3 games a week every week for 6 weeks in spring, which gave us 18 games. This year in spring, it is 8 weeks of games with 2 super weeks in there so that you get the 18-game double round robin. But what's cute about this is in 3 weeks, a third of the season has been played. And then after this super week, exactly half of the season will have been played. So that's kind of why I wanted to project here what I think will happen this week before it happens, because there's a lot of weirdness that always goes on in the standings early on in the season, where if a team has an easy strength of schedule, they may look really strong, or if a team has had a really hard strength of schedule, they'll look particularly weak. And that ends up actually kind of revealing itself once the first round robin has been played. So the way that I am approaching this episode is I went back and looked at the LCS ceilings and floors conversation that I had with Spawn before the split started, and I'm coming away with the biggest surprises through 6 games. I'm going to omit the biggest surprise being C9 parting ways with LS after 4 games, because there's 700 million videos about that currently, and I already gave a short take about that in the episode I did with Raz at the end of week 3. And also, I don't think the update that Cloud9 provides much additional context, so I'm not going to be one to continue the speculation. I know Hotline League did like a whole call-in show of speculation, so if that's really what you're into, I would say go check that out, because I think it's pretty good. But okay, top 4 biggest surprises after 3 weeks going into the 4th week. I'd say the number one is actually EG's lackluster start. It is a little strength of schedule dependent, but considering they started the lock-in tournament with 4 wins in group stage, a 2-0, and a 3-0, by winning 10 consecutive games to open the season at 2-4 is massively disappointing. This upcoming week, they are going to play FlyQuest, who's sitting at 5 wins, then Golden Guardians, who's sitting at 3 wins, and then COG, who's sitting at 1 win. So their overall strength of schedule this coming week is actually going to be 50%, because the 5-1 from FlyQuest and the 1-5 from COG and the 3-3 of Golden Guardians is exactly 9 total wins and 9 total losses. And one of my predictions for this is it's obviously going to be a make or break week for EG, but I think it's going to be a make week for them. I am predicting them to 3-0. I think they will have a very interesting game against FlyQuest, where FlyQuest has a chance to go 6-1, and EG, if they lose that, drops to 2-5. I think it's actually pretty feisty Golden Guardians team they're going to have to play on Saturday. And then I think COG is really in for a tough one this year after seeing them for 6 games, and I think EG should be able to take that one fairly handily. But what's interesting about EG so far with their 2-4 record is, with them having such a young core of a 17-year-old mid laner in JoJo and 18 or 19-year-old AD carry in Danny, I think maybe you would expect them to be like an explosive team that doesn't necessarily have the cohesion to win. But what is pronounced about their start, if you're familiar with the Oracle's Elixir stat called early game rating, it's something that Tim over at Oracle's Elixir made back in about 2015. And it combines a couple of different metrics with early game gold and dragon takes, and basically says after 15 minutes, what would their percentage chance be to win the game? And then that is coupled with another stat called mid-late rating, which basically takes the early game rating and says, well, if they win a higher percentage of the games than the early game rating would predict, then it's going to be positive. And if it's a lower percentage of the games, then it would be negative. And EG actually has just a bad early game rating. It's like 39. It's basically exactly what their win rate is. So in terms of those stats, their cohesion in the mid and late game is just completely average. And it's the early game where they're just like not jumping out ahead of teams the way that they did so explosively in lock-in. I don't necessarily know what the solution to that is. I know that I've been very underwhelmed by all three of JoJo's quirky games so far, but I also know that he's committed to kind of playing everything, and I don't necessarily think he's a bad quirky, but it's definitely a pick that he can't be very active or explosive with, and definitely can't pair up very well with Inspired in those first 15 minutes to make plays happen. So I think if they're going to have a surge this week, it's going to be hopefully with more Ryze. I know that can get banned a lot against them, but putting a higher priority on getting good mid or good mid jungle in their drafts, I think will be pretty important in order for them to have a big win. I think they actually can turn it around. And even if they 3-0, keep this in mind, even if they 3-0, they'll still only be at 5-4. So the reason that this is the biggest surprise is in my ceilings and floors, I put their floor at 5 and their ceiling was at 1. Well, they are currently 2-4, which puts them below fifth. And if they stumble out of the gate with their two hardest games of the weekend being the first two against FlyQuest and Golden Guardians, that's going to be a heck of a lot lower than their floor I put at 5. So eyes on them. The next one that I'd say would be the biggest surprise to me is FlyQuest at 5-1. I put their ceiling at 6 and their floor at 10. And they are tied for first. But I do think that that is somewhat strength of schedule related. So their upcoming opponents is actually not as crazy as you would think, even though I've said it's strength of schedule related, because they play EG, who everyone expected to be good, but who has actually not been good. Then they play Immortals, who is 2-4. Then they play Cloud9, who is 4-2, with that loss coming to CLG last week, but otherwise has looked pretty good. And we don't really know what C9 is going to be looking like in this upcoming week with all of the external noise that the LS departure has created. But that puts their strength of schedule for week 4 at 44.4%. So actually, they wouldn't have what you'd call like a hard strength of schedule in this upcoming week. With that being said, I'm not that bullish on this FlyQuest team. I do think that they are overperforming, but I have them down for a 1-2 record in this upcoming week. I have them losing the EG game and then winning the Immortals game and losing the Cloud9 game. I think when I look kind of big picture at the games that they've had so far, I just want to make sure that I get all of their games proper right now, and I've misplaced the tab. But they've had a lot of close wins. And that is not a bad thing. When I look at their mid-late rating on Oracle's Elixir, it's the best in the league. It's like 25 or something, which means they're 25% higher than their early game would predict in terms of overall win rate. And a lot of that, I think, has to do with Aframu. I think the big, big, big outperformer for them so far has been Takoi. He has better laning stats than any other mid laner in the league in terms of forward percentage. And then I also believe he leads mid laners in damage percentage. So he's really just pumping out stats for this team. And a lot of that can manifest in victory. But the two close games I'm talking about would have been week 1 against Golden Guardians, when they were about 5,000 gold behind. This is when they did the two smite top strategies. This was a smite top strategy. They ended up coming back and winning. And they slammed TSM in week 2, lost to TL fairly soundly, had a pretty solid win against Dignitas, and then their last win against 100 Thieves was another one of those really close, back and forth, only winning a team fight at the last moment to clutch out the win. And Kumo had this ridiculous Tryndamere flank onto Abadage's Corki when they were 5,000 down that got them three kills and then got them Baron, and then the game was still really close. So I can see a world where they're 3-3 and we're not talking about this team as a huge surprise, which is why I am surprised by their result at 5-1, but I definitely do not expect them to stay up at the top of the standings. The next most surprising thing, and this one I've debated, I should probably move number four above number three, but I'm not going to. And this is that 100 Thieves has had kind of a sleepy start. And I would almost be pointing more to the overall perception of 100 Thieves as this kind of meandering LCS team, where I think if I take the flip side of this FlyQuest, where I'm like, oh, FlyQuest is 5-1, but maybe they could be 3-3. I'm like, 100 Thieves is two team fights away from being 6-0. And some of the stats back this up. So there's one particular stat called gold spent percentage difference. It's a fancy way of saying that they have just spent so much more gold than the other team. They're actually at 9% across six games, which is highest in the league. So that tends to mean their losses have been close and their wins have been lopsided. I think they've lost both games in the same way, and it's by overforcing a team fight around 30 minutes and then having that go catastrophically wrong and losing the game. And that just wasn't really the way they lost games last year. So I don't expect this problem to persist for that long. And they're also only one game out of first. So when I look at their matchups this week, they play TSM on Friday, C9 on Saturday, and Dig on Sunday. So because TSM has such a bad record at 1-5, their overall strength of schedule is also only 44%, so not particularly hard or easy. But they're another team that I expect to just go 3-0. I think they're really close to being 6-0 and are really like big-time competitors in the league. They're the only team to take a win off of TL, and they're right now, I think, like the only opposition that is stopping TL from just like running over the league. So I want to continue to be hyped for 100 Thieves. They haven't played a particularly exciting brand of League of Legends because it has, when they've been good, been a little bit of what they did last year. But yeah, I don't think there's anything particularly wrong with them. I still think they're pretty damn good. And the reception has been muted. I think that'll change after this week if they put up a big 3-0 like I think they will. And another one I'll call out, this is number four, is Golden Guardians. They have been really threatening to everyone they've played. And I did not have them there in my ceilings and floors. I had them 6th to 10th, and they're sitting at 3-3, but I feel like it could have also been like a lot better. They lead the league in goal difference at 15. Yes, they've played against Smite top multiple times and had good early games against them, but the way Pride Stalker is able to run a lot of the early games and the control they seem to have for like the majority of these games is way more than you would expect from, I mean, I hate to say it, aside from that like 1 year they're pretty good, from the Golden Guardians. Like they have just, generally when you see that team, you do not expect them to be good. And I would say that the overall investment they have done in their coaching staff, I think their org is actually doing a really good job this year. They didn't necessarily go with an incredibly young roster. They went with older players. And I think, at least at first, that's paying off fairly well. It's not like older players can't still develop and can't still improve and can't still increase synergy. And they're doing pretty damn well. With that being said, they play TL and then EG, who I think is going to be on an uptick, and then Immortals. So this will be like, if they can beat either TL or EG this week, I'm really going to start taking this team seriously. I do think they'll beat Immortals, so I have them at 1-2 for the week. But their early games and the quality just like the quality of the way they've been playing, I know that's a stupid thing to say, has just been surprising to me so far in the split. And they have a chance to really step up and make a statement this week with the game against TL and a game against UG. If they beat TL, it's like a really big statement, because I said in my Sunday night podcast that I think TL is going to go like 16-2. So I'd be very surprised if they do that. And if they beat EG, like, that's a game they should really have circled, because that's a team that really needs to prove something this year, hasn't done so in the first 3 weeks. And I think it would make Golden Guardians look really damn good. I want to touch on a few other things. I don't want to spend too much time on this video. I just have some stat outliers. They're not always nice stats, but we have a death leader. Every year we have a death leader. It's just this year, it's a lot of deaths. Contrax has 35 deaths in six games, which is just under six per game. For some context on that, like, the lowest deaths in the league is Bjergsen at five deaths in six games, less deaths in the whole season than Contrax is averaging per game. And before you say, like, mid laners die less than junglers, which is obviously true, there are two junglers in the league that have died way less. Closers only died eight times and Santorin nine. COG has had a really rough go. When they're behind, they just kind of throw their bodies at the opponent, and I don't think they're finding intelligent ways back into the game, so their, like, combined kills per minute is way high. It's been a really, really rough start for Contrax. I think everyone in the league really likes the guy, but he definitely needs to pick it up. Another fun stat was the AD carry damage percentage. I know last week Tactical set an LCS record for having 70% of his team's damage in one game, which had never happened before. The game before that, he did 51% of his team's damage. And then the game after that, he started 4-0 with like eight turret plates on Jinx with a support top Lulu who was roaming, so just totally set up to carry the game. But even with all that, for the year, he's at 35.5% of his team's damage, and Danny actually is at 37% of his team's damage, even though EG is sitting at 2-4. So Danny is still doing tremendous work in team fights to pull that out, which I just think is very impressive. And now I'll kind of run through, I'll just sum up the predictions I have for this upcoming Super Week. I actually think there will be three 3-0 teams. I think TL, 100 Thieves, and EG can all go 3-0. That would make TL first at 8-1. 100 Thieves would be in second at 7-2, and it means EG would recover to 5-4. Some fun facts about the Super Week scheduling. COG, actually, is the team with the easiest strength of schedule in the upcoming Super Week. So, as a 1-5 team, they play 2-4 Immortals, 1-5 TSM, and currently 2-4 EG, who I predict to be 4-4 by that game. But based on the standings now, that's only a 27.8% win rate with their upcoming opponents. The next question you probably have is, who has the hardest Super Week schedule? The answer is Dignitas, a team that did not have a good week and could really be in for a bad time. They play Cloud9, TL, and 100 Thieves. A combined record of 13-5, 72% win rate. I do not have them winning any of those games. It would move them to 3-6. It would move them into a tie for 7th, which would really push them down in the standings. And I'd say, you know, prayers up for Dick. It's a very, very tough week for them. I also wanted to do one thing, since it is a big week and a lot of people don't have like 15 hours to watch League of Legends. So if you happen to listen to this and only want to tune in for a few games, I got recommendations. They're my personal matches of the week. So on Friday, I have EG versus Fly circled. That would be scheduled. Obviously, the day can change a lot, but it will be scheduled to start Friday at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. The reason that I have this circled is it's like it is the biggest overperformer of the first third of the season. versus the biggest underperformer of the first third of the season. And it's a chance for a course correction or to just push them so much further apart that they may never come back together again. Like, I feel like if FlyQuest wins this and EG loses that, it'll be a 6-1 FlyQuest and a 2-5 EG. Emotionally, that's going to do really big things to these teams and also going to be massive for their perception. On Saturday, this is not cruel-hearted. It's just because it's going to be an incredibly entertaining game. There's a sequence of games, the second and third games of the day. We have TSM versus CLG and Cloud9 versus 100 Thieves. Listen, guys. TSM and CLG, as orgs, always want to beat each other. It does not matter how far down in the standings they are. They both struggled immensely, but the loser of that game will likely be dead last in the LCS. So the satisfaction of pushing the other one down further into the dirt, that's the good stuff. Like, that is the good stuff with LCS. The other one with Cloud9 versus 100 Thieves is just super entertaining for me because everyone's going to be watching every Cloud9 game still to see how quirky they're going to be with draft, how standard they're going to be with draft, how good they're going to be playing. What is going to be the impact of Max Waldo as the new head coach and all these players continuing to exist together against 100 Thieves, who is a team I've hyped up as being like way better than advertised. And I expect 100 Thieves to win, but I think it's going to be a good game. On Sunday, I have two circled, Fly versus C9. Again, I don't really need to restate the reasons I think Fly and C9 are very interesting in this upcoming week. It's whether or not FlyQuest can maintain that spot at the top of the standings or whether they revert to the mean, and if Cloud9 can keep on keeping on and prove themselves as a top-tier team. And then 2:30 p.m. Sunday, my last match of the week. I know there's been like, this is my fifth one, but TSM versus Team Liquid. Bjergsen's first game against TSM. 2014 to 2020, he played on this team. He coached this team in 2021. He had the opportunity to stay with them in the offseason, decided not to. How much do you think he wants to beat TSM? And how much do you think TSM would love to take down TL? Even though it's very unlikely. They really would like to. So I got that one circled. I don't really have anything else to talk about. So I can wrap up the video here. I'd say thank you once again for watching. I've been floored by the reception so far. Love all the positivity in the comments. I like how things are trending up viewership-wise week over week. Please continue, like, and subscribe. I think I'm up like from around 18,000 subs right now, which is really great. So please keep doing that. If you're watching and haven't subscribed, I'd love it if you would. And yeah. I'll see you next time.